Welcome back to the Go Ham Podcast. Today we have a special episode. It's our Unleashed episode where we will get into some social media and pick it apart.
Pick it apart.
All right, let's redo it. I don't like it.
I like it. I liked it too. Yeah, it was good.
All right, go ahead, then go with it.
Heather 8. 4 plus 4 equals 8.
Down.
Eight. Welcome to the table, Jane.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're stoked. So for our audience, Jade is one of our team members. She's young and vibrant and brings an energy, and we just figured it would be fun to have another perspective on our episode of Go Ham Unleashed.
Let's get to it. How many years you've been behind the chair now?
Two.
All right. She's a freshie.
Yeah.
Freshie. We're industry millennials, freshie. So we needed to bring in like another generation to get a new fresh perspective.
Well, my little sisters say I'm a millennial too, so
no.
I know I'm not.
No. So wait, are you a millennial or no?
No.
Okay. She's a Gen Z.
Heather's definitely not a millennial because she's going to Louis DeVito and AC.
I'm trying to, guys.
They're gonna be giving out like Pravastatin, like blood thinners. You walk through.
Oh my god.
All right.
Keep knocking it.
First post we have is from Harebrained Official. What do you do to keep your clients coming back to you? This goes beyond providing stellar services, 100. What things do you do to deliver superlative customer service so your clients not only come back, but tell their friends?
I'll go first. I just feel like mine was so on point and genuine. So I'm going to go with this one. Hair by Bernice. Oh, actually, it's hair underscore by underscore Bernice underscore Van Galen. She says, be myself, educate them on their hair goals and the process and the styling products they need. Allow them to have a safe space and feel relaxed while at the same time coming out of the salon looking fabulous.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's so to the point. That's what everybody wants when they go to a hair salon.
Yeah.
They want to have fabulous hair. They want to know what you're using. They want to feel like they can talk to you about anything. So for me, that's keeping it real.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's I think, so on brand for everyone. Yeah. Like, that's what most people are doing. I like the
kind
shit that's
boring.
Like, the grip. Well, what happened to the one that you were going to do?
Oh, I have that one too, but this one was like my good one. And then I have the other one that I kind of thought was a little comical.
The other one's good.
Okay, so the underscore prism underscore addict. A-T-T-I-C, not addict. Just want to make that clear. The way she keeps her clients there and coming back is I let people vape, drink, watch TV, cry. We hug. I don't push buying things. I have a huge cat. People love to pet. Freezies in the summer, etc.
I mean, dude, I like
cat
that.
In the salon?
That's a different.
It so sounds like.
See, that's more.
It know. Sounds like a party.
That's like love or hate. Like, either you love going there and, you're all about this experience, or you're like, I'm never going back there. That was wild.
Yeah, like, some people just want to go get their hair done and let it all hang out. Yeah.
Some people hate cats.
Some people are allergic. Yeah.
I feel like, wait, does your cat shed?
Yeah.
If so, I don't want a mommy.
You want to go next, Jane?
Yeah. To piggyback off, like, the keeping it real part, underscore Brie, underscore Christine, underscore, said, I'm honest, transparent, humble, and reliable. Communication is my top priority, and I'm a complete goofball once the consultation is completed and the service is underway. I feel like that's super relatable because it's important to build a foundation where your clients can be open and honest with you. Because let's be real, like, sometimes not everyone's hair is going to be perfect every single time. And I want my clients to feel like they can tell me if something needs to be tweaked and we'll fix it that day or that week.
My goodness. For a freshie, you really know. But thanks, no, man. That's the truth. I think that that's a major thing. And I love that that person brought that up because it matters, like, for sure.
Yeah.
That you have clients that are comfortable enough to tell you when they're not happy. Because everybody's going to tell you when they're happy. But to be comfortable enough to be like, hey, we missed the mark here. Can I get back in?
Yes.
That's big.
And I'm learning a lot from you today.
Jade?
Yeah, I mean, I learned how to get my followers on Instagram.
Jade's the truth.
Yeah, I like it, Jade.
Thanks, guys. And also, wait, to piggyback off what you said, vice versa, too. Like, being open and honest with your clients. Like, maybe that glaze is just a little too dark. 100%. Let's fix that. Yeah. Like, you know?
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I'm worried that me and you have the same one, but I'm going to go for it. I hope it's not
yours. Probably, guys. You do. You definitely do.
At Paris, Texas Hairdressing. That's what it is. Avoid the five sins of speaking: negativity, complaining, judging, exaggerating, gossiping, and always remember you are only ever as good as your last haircut.
Amen.
So wait, I got a question. Avoid the five sins of speaking. Is this like in life? Because I'm about this.
Yeah, I like that. I might get that tattooed on my forehead.
Dead serious. Like... I mean, like, no I
cat,
love this.
No cat.
Negativity, complaining, judging, exaggerating, and gossiping. Like, I'm for that. So, yeah. Like, yeah, those are my people.
Yeah,
that
you
are
can definitely
that
apply
world.
That to any aspect of life, yeah. Not just in behind
in hairdressing.
A chair.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down for that. Paris, Texas hairdressing. You're my people.
I mean, if you think about all the problems that we have as salon owners, it's that in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know?
Fast forward to like 3 hours from now when I'm complaining. Exaggerating, gossiping,
talking shit.
All right, Mayan's from Greek Boy Magic. I love him. Anybody can do hair color, anybody can do haircuts, anybody can do blow dries. The question is, not everybody has personality, and I think that speaks probably to all of us, just because like when we look for service providers, like we're looking for like our people. And I'm just more guaranteed to go back to somebody if there's somebody that I can like vibe with. Like,
yeah,
I think of like Bayrack and like the person that does like my Botox and stuff. Like, I could talk to her for hours and I love that. And like, I feel like all of us tell each other when we have like people like, oh, you got to go to her. Like, she's awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just that like anybody can do any type of service, but can you be the person that's like relatable and the vibe, and you know,
yeah, that's so true, because I feel like there's been times in the past where we've had team members run into issues because, you know, they're doing everything, they're mm-hmm. doing everything they possibly can, but I feel like it takes a couple of years to really get confident. You said it to me right before we started filming that when you first started, you were like a little bit nervous and you felt had this like almost like, I don't want to call it fake, but like you were...
No, it was.
Imposter syndrome.
I had this voice. Like, I was like, why am I talking like this? This is not who I am.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started personaling for Katie, I would like bounce around the salon. I'm like, this isn't who I am.
Yeah.
And I started being real with them and we ended up building such a strong like connection.
Yeah.
Till this day, I'm still... I do some of her clients' cuts, you know?
Yep. And you're probably attracting, like, because you're being real, you're attracting exactly that.
Right.
And... like, that's what you want, essentially. Right. You want people that are like you, that have similar interests, 100%. That you can vibe with, like you were saying. Yeah.
But to bounce off of what you said, I think a lot of times in the beginning, the newbies struggle with retention
mm-hmm.
because they're so focused on, like, the technical and, like, getting everything right, which is great, but they lose sight of, like, that human mm-hmm. fact.
The human aspect, dude, yeah. For sure.
Just to be real, when I first started on the chair, I botched so many haircuts. But they came back.
But they came back.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, so we're going to grab a drink after the show?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yep. It's a dream. You know? I love it. All right. So next post is at Harebrained Official. Thank you for Harebrained Official always providing us with phenomenal content to get through.
Showing up.
But, okay. So the post was, what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone who just entered the hair industry? What do we got? Who's going first?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
So I have two. The first one is Pam Lane, the DMV. She or he, I don't know, but they post it. Get up under a mentor, someone who you want to be like, follow them, learn from them. And then this is where it goes a little off for me. Pray with them and practice obedience and be consistent and confident.
I'm down with praying.
I know, but like the whole like pray with them, like it was just a lot of pray for me. Like, you're I not. Like the message. I'm not knocking that. I do like the message. I think you should definitely have prayer in your life at some point. But I think having a mentor is huge for anybody starting out. I think that's like key. Mm-hmm. Find somebody that you can relate to, that you're comfortable with, ask questions, you know, and use their guidance.
Yeah. I think that's huge, especially in like the world that we live in now. And I think... sometimes client expectations are like so high. It's so nice that you could go, like, if you have somebody that you can go to like bounce ideas off of in like certain situations where like, I don't know, like things could get a little tense between clients. So I know like some of the older girls are like mentors to the younger girls at the salon. And anytime they're like in a situation, they're like, oh, well, I asked, you know, this stylist, and this is what she said. I'm like, oh, great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mentors are so important. And I hope that we do an episode with them soon because it works so well for our company. And I think it's like one of the best things that we can provide our stylists.
For sure. Yeah. It's just like an extension of like, you know, additional layer of support.
They have calmed me down in many, many scenarios.
All right. Go ahead, Jade.
That's great.
I have one by the Morgan Brack Hair. She said, set your boundaries now. Know your worth. That's
know
real.
Know your worth.
I feel like, 100%. Especially as a younger stylist, sometimes certain clients can maybe think that they're in control. So I think it's important. I mean, in a way they are, but I think it's important to set the boundaries that, like, you know, we are in the driver's seat. Like, we're providing you a service, you know?
Yeah. And would you say that, that's obviously something that comes with confidence?
Oh, 100%.
Like, if you feel the confidence enough to present that to them or to be that in the driver's seat, as you said, I think it changes things.
Yeah, and I think, like we said earlier, it attracts certain kind of clients.
Yep.
Like, people respect you a little bit more.
For sure. You know? Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Go ahead, Leash.
Mine is from All Hair and Design. People are crazy. People are kind. People are rude, people are sweet, but the person in your chair is there for many different reasons. Do your best to give them the best hair in that moment. Good luck. I just love that because I think a lot of times, like, every now and then we'll get dealt with, like, somebody who's not your ideal client. Mm-hmm. And I think what you just have to remember is, A, it's like 1% of your career that you have to deal with something like that. And B, like, you don't know what that person's going through. You know, they may have been looking forward to this appointment for, I don't know, 3 months, or saved up all their money to come in and get their hair done, or have no friends and, like, just want to, you know, be themselves and sit around and chit chat and be annoying. You know what I mean? So I just think just keeping that in the back of your mind, and not, when you do go through those situations, like, not letting it affect your entire day or week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. There's so much truth into that, what you just said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I think everyone, every stylist can relate to that, because they have their ideal clients, and then they have, like, one or two that are just nasty all the time. Yeah. And then they have some that you just don't know what's going on, like you said. Man, what do you got?
All right. So I have Bridal Hair Couture by Katie. She has 101 likes on this, and it's basically, having a fabulous TikTok and Insta account doesn't make you a fabulous hairstylist. Anyone can appear talented with enough editing. Keeping people in your chair is what makes you talented and successful. Your true skill set is in what will make you successful. Most importantly, how you treat your clients is what determines your success. Make them love you. They'll always come back. For me, I feel like that one's deep, because I just think as a young stylist just out of hair school, one of the benefits is that you understand how important social media is for you. Like, these young ones get it. They understand that. Whereas older stylists, you know, they fight it, they're resistant to it, but the young ones understand it. But ultimately, at times, I feel that people prioritize their appearance on social media over what they're doing behind the chair. Mm-hmm. And to what she just said, like, ultimately, like, Instagram, social media can be a facade. It can be just what it appears to be, but what actually is what's going on behind the chair.
Yeah.
You know, like, what you're doing to the clients and how they're feeling and the experience that you're providing. And I feel like that message drives home.
Yeah.
And it does. Also, like, your worth isn't based on, like, your social media. Like, how many people do we have who don't, like, prioritize social, like, they do it, but it's not, like, a priority to them. Yeah. And, like, how successful are they?
Yep.
So I think just, like, remembering that too, like, it doesn't have to be everything.
Social media definitely is important, though, because it, especially for, like you said, the younger people, that's in today's, like, I don't want to say market, but today I feel like people, you're getting butts in your chair from social media. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no denial on that.
Yeah, but you don't have to have, like, 5,000 followers to do it.
No, you know? And you don't have to go on and not be, like, totally being genuine and posting stuff that's really not real and fake. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
But Jade, you're young and fresh. So what is your perspective on that?
I think that social media is really important. I don't think it's important to have the amount of followers or amount of likes, but more so just being present and showing up on social media. Like, yep, you can tell even the young girls in our salon, the ones who are, you know, present, they are busier and they fill up. A lot of my clients tell me, I found you on my For You page, or I just looked up like mainline hair on mm-hmm. Instagram, and that's how they find us, is mm-hmm. through social media.
Exactly.
So I think it's like really important, but I don't think the likes or the amount of followers that you have are as important, but just again, yeah, like showing up and doing it, you know?
Yeah. Dude, staying relevant.
Just said, just mic drop.
Eight.
The people.
It just eight.
Four plus four.
4+4.
Maybe not there, Mon. But we'll
no
get
crumbs.
You there. No, but the people that do social media are busy.
100%. I feel like yesterday I had this conversation at Malvern with somebody who we were talking about. It was an interview actually that I had, and we were talking about the importance of social media and how she was saying that when she gets a new guest, she knows that like they call the salon and they ask, and then they hang up, and then they go on Instagram, mm-hmm. they look them up before they're actually physically booking the appointment. So it does matter, yeah, you know?
It does.
Definitely.
For sure.
So I found an interesting comment on that post. I don't really know what to make of it. Okay. I don't really know if I like it or not, but I'm going to tell you what it says. Ging Bratton, 2 weeks ago, he actually posted, he or she, work 6 days a week for at least a year. At 3 years, cut back to 3 days a week. And around 10 years, 2 days a week until retirement.
That comment will get you canceled in this day and
age. I don't understand it. Like, I want to know the rhyme and reason. Like, I would love to sit down with whoever this person is and ask, like, the rhyme and reason behind that. Like,
what, I can tell you it.
Okay, tell me, because I want to know.
What they mean by this.
What is it?
Is that hustle your ass off in the beginning. Work, you know, nights, weekends, all of that stuff in the beginning. For the very beginning, you got to hustle. Then as you build your clientele, scale back a little bit, change your schedule up some for the reward of when you're at 10 years to be able to work 2 days a week and make 200K a year or whatever it is. That's what's meant by it. Do I agree that you should be working 6 days a week? No, because what I know is that if you are working 6 days a week as a new stylist out of the gate, you're going to be dead.
You're going to be like sitting around.
You're not going to have anybody.
DoorDashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are
so
very,
I
like,
understand the goal in what he was trying to say, but essentially
the timeline threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. The next post we have is from Masters of Balayage, and it says, how much do you expect your client to tip? Little controversial. Mm-hmm. Philip Scalus Beauty says 20%. I will squeeze you in no matter how busy I am. No tip, I'm not turning myself inside out for you. Which I kind of like disagree with. I mean, I don't know. I never really agreed. Like when we've had apprentices or stylists come to us and say like, oh, I don't get a lot of tips, or my clients aren't tipping me anymore. I'm kind of like in my head, like, so what? In this day and age, like they're coming to see you and they're spending $200-$300. So 20% on that service is a lot. So I just never really paid attention to like who tipped me and who didn't tip me. But I feel like that's kind of a little cutthroat, I guess.
It is a little cutthroat, but it's true too. Like what I mean is, you know, I can think back on clients that I know really like taking care of me.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm willing to do whatever it is. You know, like if you're somebody who you had to cancel on me, like, I don't give a shit, you know, I'll get you in tomorrow.
Yeah.
You and not that I want to say I prioritized them, but it's almost like they prioritize themselves. They made it so good that they're like, she is going to take care of me because I take care of her.
Right.
Like, that's kind of how I felt about it.
But then to piggyback off of that, if I do have a client where it's a haircut, or maybe they don't leave a big tip or no tip at all, I'm not going to treat them differently.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Like, yeah.
All right. So this one is interesting. Amber.born said, nada. I'm upfront about being gratuity free. And if they insist, I tell them to leave a review or referring people is how I prefer to be supported.
I love that.
So it's interesting because there has been a lot of shifts in the industry in the past few years regarding tips and gratuity. And a lot of people are going in this route where they're gratuity free. And basically it's built into the pricing structure, how they do it.
I have never seen that.
You haven't?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's a thing.
Where?
A lot of people are doing it. Tip free, like gratuity free.
Really?
Yes.
I just read a lot of the comments were saying that I don't accept tips. I tell them that they're welcome to tip my associate or assistant.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of nice, but I could also see in like people being like, oh, well, I don't want to tip 20%. So
yeah, this was like a little bit of a trendy thing happening a couple years ago. But basically, yeah. So she's saying that, you know, she's upfront about being gratuity free. And I love this because there was a point in my career where I felt like I was doing that. I basically was asking people instead of, hey, please don't tip me today. I would just prefer you either leave me a review or send me somebody that's really going to support my business right now. I did that like way back, like years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And what I got was people still tipped me, but they were also understanding how much it supported me to just send someone to me.
Right.
Which was great.
I think it helps ease the pain too when you have a stylist that's charging high prices. You know, you're like, you get hit with this bill and then you're tipping 15, 20, 25% on top of that. Mm-hmm. So I think not accepting it, it's like, it just makes it a little bit like, I don't mind spending the money. Like I'll do more to my hair. Like, cause now I don't have to tip, but I mean, not for me, but I just feel like for other people that I could see.
And even
the
like,
plus in that.
Yeah. Extensions. Like that's like a $600-$700 service. So like 20% of that, like that's a big chunk of change.
It's and a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I would never expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like $20, sure. $40.
Right. Yeah.
But not 20% on like an almost $1,000. Like if you purchase the hair, pay for the service, get your color done.
Yeah.
You know,
well my, speaking of this, this is my wheels turning. Do you tip your Botox injectors?
Oh. I try to, but you won't accept any.
I don't know what to do there. That's
like, I always tip them. I mean, I tip the people that pump my gas. I tip anybody. But my Botox girl is amazing. She's a doctor, and she will not accept any tips.
Yeah.
Well, she's luxury.
She is top notch.
Yeah.
I love that. But in previous places, like, yeah, they, like, will ask you, do you want to leave a tip for Botox services? Shit, I even go to the airport, and there's, like, do you want to leave a tip for, what, grabbing my two water bottles off of
the shelf? Well, I was at the Phillies game last night. I was at the Phillies game, and everything you buy, it says, would you like to leave a tip?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's
everywhere. I'm waiting to, like, walk out of the bathroom, and there'd be a sign, would you like to leave a tip for using the toilet?
That's so funny. Like,
whatever happened to good old-fashioned service, man. Can't even get
and it's really, like, in your face. Like, yeah. And they're standing there watching, you know.
Oh, wait, this is funny. Like, now that you say this, the other day when I was at the airport, I went to check out, and the lady was like, if you can just answer the question. And I was like, what question? And I looked out, I'm like, oh, that question.
I'm sorry, but something like that, I'm not tipping.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but like I get strong-armed into it too, because then I'm like, I just ordered food, and then they're like, do you want to leave a tip? It's right there. And then you look down and they give you the options like 10, 15, 20% other. And I'm like,
where's zero?
But no. Like I'm looking at it like I better tip 20% because now they're going to prepare my food. Are they going to like spin it in or do something gross, drop it on the floor, then pick it up and hand it to me because I didn't tip enough?
That's so funny.
I hate that they see it before, you know.
Being strong-armed by
the service. Yes, that's exactly it. I'm being strong-armed. Yes.
Yeah. See, something like that, I don't know. I feel like you shouldn't have to. But then if I'm ordering Starbucks, like, yeah, I'll throw a buck or two in the bucket, you know, like
because they're physically doing something, right. Like they're actually doing something for you. If you're taking a water bottle and putting it on this and scanning it and then asking me for a tip, that seems like
it also depends on the person. I will say when we went to Nashville to that concert, like I specifically remember the girls behind the counter were like just like talking to me and like chit chatting while I was waiting for my food, and like when I paid I was like, oh, tip these girls. Yeah. They're like, you know, making my experience a little better, you know?
Well, on the flip side, yesterday I was at Swiss Farms and I'm sitting. I was the only person in the drive-thru sitting there waiting, and I'm watching this boy. He was probably like 23, 24, around that age. He's sitting there. He knows I'm there. He looked dead at me and then just played on his phone And this went on for like, I swear to God, it was a minute, but it felt like 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, are you going to get up and come see what I need yet?
Heather's blood pressure.
Yeah. I'm like, rising. I have a million things to do on my list right now, you know, like, so I'm sitting there waiting for this kid to finally finish his text or upload his TikTok or whatever he was doing. He comes over. He asks my order. I tell him. He goes back in, gets back on his phone. Nah. I swear to God, I'm not lying. Gets back on his phone and then comes back and goes, I'm sorry, what did you say you needed? No. It took everything out of me not to just like drive through. I was so mad. And like, I tip everybody. Like, I'm not the kind of person where like, I'm like, oh, she did a shitty job or she gave me an attitude. Yeah. I'm going to knock so much off her tip. I typically tip 20 to 25% on everything. This kid had my blood boiling. I literally like, I couldn't do it.
I literally only gave him $10.
I honestly wanted to like give him a real tip. And like, and I hate that when I'm like, here's a tip for you, buddy. Like, that's not me. But like, I wanted to be like, listen, you're probably making minimum wage. You have an opportunity to make so much more right now in tips. Like if you would have came right over and like just did a good job and were friendly and nice, I would have left you $10.
Can you go back like, today and pull up and be like, hey, can we talk?
I slept on it. I think I really could do you a good service here. Yeah. but going back to what you were saying, I just feel like this kind of like goes hand in hand. So I'm going to go next. This person, Kelly, in retrospect says, I don't expect tips. I just price my services accordingly. Yeah. And I like that too. I feel like, you know, it's true. It's honest. Like, you know what you're going to pay up front. And I do like that. Yeah. She's not expecting it. But we're relying on it. Yeah. She doesn't rely on her tips. And I think that that's a good thing. I think it's kind of irresponsible. Mm-hmm. I get some people really do rely on their tips. But if you're pricing accordingly, then that shouldn't be an issue for you. I saw another funny one that Joshua did my hair says, it depends on how nice I dress that day. I thought that was funny.
I love it.
Like, wow, you look great. You put a lot of effort in. You're getting 30% today.
Depends on how well I slept the night before.
Yep.
To kind of piggyback off the first thing you said, as a beginner stylist, it can go hand in hand because I do think that we are not reliant on our tips, but our tips are a big part of our income when you first start out.
So it was something that I was hoping to bring up once we were through this, if it wasn't brought up. And I feel like there's an unspoken issue around tipping in our industry, and it's the apprentices, the associates.
That's who I was going to get to. The apprentices, I feel like, are the ones that really rely on the tips as they should.
Mm-hmm. And they need to be taken care of. Yes. And I feel like that's on the stylist as well. It's not only on whatever client they're shampooing that day, but the stylist need to make sure they're taken care of. And I feel like that's something big in the industry. You know, these are kids that are just out of school that, you know, may essentially be paying for their housing, their food, and struggling. And to us, anybody who is more established and has, you know, a nice income and a client base, I feel like it is kind of the unwritten rule of like, you got to take care of the young ones because they need it. And they're there. And essentially, the business that you're operating, if you're in a company like ours, they play such a crucial role in how we operate that if they're not taken care of, I have an issue with it because essentially they're the reason why you're getting to where you are.
Dude, without them, the salon would like be on fire.
I know. I feel bad for them though, because I feel like, I've had both sides of it. I've heard, oh, I make really good tips. And then I hear some that are like, and I know that they're hard workers and they're friendly and they're kind and nice and they do everything you could ever need. Mm-hmm. But then they're like not getting tips. And I feel like it's, not against them. I just think that people generally, when they go to a hair salon, they pay so much for their hair.
Yep.
And then that 20% tip goes to the stylist. And now it's like a burden. Now it's like, oh my God, now I got to tip the girl that shampooed my hair. And, you know, and that's sad. Like I feel like they should be getting the 20% tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that if there is a strong system in place within the salon around tipping, it makes more sense. And with today's financial climate you know, people are strapped and that extra $5 may be going toward their child's lunch tomorrow. So it's kind of like you have to pick and choose, but I think it's on the stylist that have the apprentices working with them that are essentially driving the income or the business to allow them to take more clients or see more people or add on services. You really got to make sure you're taking care of your people.
I think it's so important for the stylist to make sure that their associate at the end of the day was, you know, felt appreciated, was tipped out.
Yep.
And not only tipped by the clients, but tipped by you. They're essentially working for you. Why wouldn't you tip them?
For sure.
By Heather HB14, she said, I don't expect any certain amount. I only get annoyed when I squeeze someone in and they know it and they don't tip at all. So, of course, we don't expect it, but it's always appreciated. Yeah. But it can be frustrating if, you know, someone knows you're squeezing them in, they're showing up super late, and then they don't really tip. You know, we put our blood, sweat, tears, hard work into our services. So sometimes it can be a little bit defeating if, you know, your clients don't appreciate you 100%. In that way.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's not expected.
That's like, so I feel like, did you ever go to a restaurant and the food was like completely atrocious, but the service was great? And you can't help but be like, you know, I just spent $150 on this dinner and it was so bad. But you're not going to take it out on the person, you know? So it's like that, you know, that's like, I feel like kind of how I think about it when it comes to that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think Jade is actually a really interesting, cool person. Because how old are you, Jade?
Thank you. I actually will be 23 on Monday.
God, you are such an old soul.
Yeah, she
like
is.
You're 23 and just hearing like your thought, like when you speak, I can hear your thoughts almost. It's like you... Everything that comes out of your mouth is so planned in your head before you speak. Like, you're just a very put together speaker for being such a young
person. Thank you. I appreciate
person.
That.
Yeah. The wisdom behind this one.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just like what she says, like, is so wise, like you just said.
Guys,
so,
you're going to give me a big
hit. I'm actually impressed by you.
How often do we have like a heart to heart in the office?
It'll dude, like every time I step in the office, it's never a 5 minute convo. I'm always in there for at least like 15.
Yeah, she's just so easy to
and
talk to.
And you're only 23?
Yeah. Do we want to talk to the world about your pivotal moment in your career when you almost got fired? And
oh my gosh,
what changed?
Wait, who almost fired you?
I was a walking shit show.
That horrible boss?
It got bad.
Was it Alicia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But it was my fault.
I would have hired you at Newtown, don't worry.
No, yeah, I was a
Wayne's loss is Newtown's gain.
All right.
I think after she talks about how terrible you were to her, I think you guys should hug it out.
No, actually,
I think you guys should hug it out.
I can say quite the opposite
dickhead.
Of that.
Dickhead. She didn't show up for work, all right? And when she did, she showed up in like a Tupac Shakur t-shirt.
Wait, when did she show up in?
And like I was literally, quite literally, a walking shit show. And I just was calling out, showing up, was going through a lot.
How old
in my personal
you?
Life. I think I had just turned 20.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say you were like 19
when you
first
turned 20
started.
And I was going through some real shit.
Yeah.
Not that it's an excuse, but it was the reason behind I was doing the things I was doing.
Okay.
But yeah, I showed up the one day and I was in skinny jeans, a Tupac shirt, and ruined white Air Forces. And Leisha's like, what are you doing?
I'm
like,
you aren't getting no tips that day.
I was like, I know. I know, Leisha. She's like, dude. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now that's my like daily fit outside the salon. But I will say like having the support of Alicia though is really what kind of like kicked my ass into gear. Oh. I was having like car issues and she literally Ubered me to work.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
You definitely would do something like that.
You Ubered
like
me
that.
To work and
I'm like, hey, we need you.
Ubered me home.
The Uber's on its way.
I'm yeah, right. You probably remember. Were calling out bullshit. You're like, oh, your car don't work? Sure, I'll Uber you.
Yeah. Okay, I want to know like what clicked though for you. Because I feel like there was a time where it was very evident that you were working like on yourself. Like, was it...
I know when
like,
it was.
Like reading a book or was it just like... rock bottom
It was rock bottom.
Did you think you were gonna lose your job?
Yes. I'm surprised that I didn't lose my job.
Okay.
I knew what I was doing because the thing about me is I can take accountability. Like yeah, like I knew I'm so like I said, I'm surprised I still work here and I'm grateful that I had that kind of support not only from you Leisha but also from my mentor at the time, just everyone.
Who was your mentor?
Katie.
Aww.
Katie's like a second mom to me. I'll She's always stand on that.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just about to say, like, I feel like Alicia, even Katie, like, they are very motherly, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
100%.
Maybe you were looking for that.
That's exactly
you needed someone to, like, crack the whip and be like, we're not going to put up with this.
Yeah.
Motherly?
Yeah,
I wouldn't call her motherly.
Yeah, like
her. Why? No. She kills it in the mom game.
I think she's a strong mentor. I wouldn't call her like
she
motherly.
Is, but
I'm
like
not like nurturing.
Even no. today, when I was having a breakdown, you came over and gave me a hug, and it made me feel a thousand times better.
Match your
my negative energy. You were trying to pull my positive out.
Your way of accepting love.
Oh, all right.
I'm a chameleon in that way.
Are you a hugger leash?
I'm not, but I will be for Heather.
I won't be.
I'll take your hugs any day.
Help me out. All right, cool. I love that. And I feel like I like that seems like such a distant time from now for me. Like I remember that going on because I've seen so much success in you over these past few years. I like forgot about it.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Which is kind of cool, right?
Keep it in the back of your mind.
She's one of the reasons why like it's super hard to like give up on people.
Oh.
You know? Like
yeah.
100%. When you have somebody who's going through something and isn't being themselves, like you gotta sometimes just give them the benefit of the doubt, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen time and time again, people just like go through shitty stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually get it together and pull through. So
yeah,
I'm famous really, for that. I feel like that's one of my superpowers.
Yeah.
I feel like I can, like, I'm not a good people reader. Like I'm not good with like doing interviews mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but once they're in the company and like I see potential, mm-hmm. And then I see like someone slacking off, like I don't want to give up. Like
you are the hardest.
Remember mm-hmm. that one day when we had to let someone go and I bust out crying in the office and yeah. I'm just like, how did we let her go? Like,
yeah.
Like I wanted to keep her. Like I wasn't ready for that yet. Like I get so emotionally attached to our team members
and a lot of the times the team doesn't see that.
Yeah,
they only
don't.
See the negative and they don't see the conversations that happen behind closed doors.
That's
and
a,
like,
that's
you know,
that,
we all knew you were going through something. So yeah. It was hard.
And that's
to...
another thing. Like you guys, it took me a little bit to grasp the concept, but you guys made it easy for me to be transparent. At first, I feel like I was like beating around the bush, not really like being open and honest. And then finally, when I remember one day I was in your office crying to Leash and I laid it all down. I told her just the truth about what I was going through. And you're like, dude, take a mental week. And I did. Mm-hmm. And after that is when I think things started shifting for me. I was like, dude, I need to get my shit together. Mm-hmm. Like bad.
Right. No and one's not going to, no one is going like, to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself.
Exactly. This is something that I wish there was more of in the industry. Because there's a very tough, and I imagine that if you're one boss or one owner and you don't have a network of people to kind of lean into in these moments, because we do it all the time, mm-hmm. you know, when there's something going on, we're all like, how often do we get on three-way calls? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. guys, we got to talk through this. And we kind of banter and go back and forth about how we want to handle this specific scenario. And it's so beneficial because one of us may be really emotional about it and one of us may be really level-headed, and finding somebody to kind of talk you off the ledge and just listen, let's give it some time, let's see what's actually going on before we make that decision. Like that's happened so many times and it's served us so well over the years.
Well, because you guys are real and raw and like relatable. Like you don't feel like it's robotic when you talk, like when I talk to you guys, you know.
Well, thank you. Love hearing that. Well, we're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
Like dead serious. Like we love you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was so fun.
Thank you. I love you
guys. And thank you for being a part of the GoHam podcast. And on that note, we're signing off.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Like and subscribe. Share with your friends.
And we'll catch you on the next episode.